It's Thursday, June 17th, 2021, and I'm Dave Sobel. Two things to know today. All the political moves this week, and cyber insurance dominates the security segment and what you need to know. This is the Business of Tech. I saved the political stuff for today. The G7 earlier this week asked Russia to disrupt those ransomware gangs operating within its borders. Quoting the statement, "We call on Russia to identify, disrupt, and hold to account those within its borders who conduct ransomware attacks, abuse virtual currency to launder ransoms, and other cybercrime." NATO issued their joint communique as well. They've equated cyber attacks as the same as mounting an armed attack. This indicates that a cyber attack could lead to the invocation of Article 5. And President Biden and Russia's President Putin had their much-anticipated meeting. While Putin continued to deny Russia's involvement in the ransomware attacks, the two not only put ambassadors back into place, they also decided to organize meetings of experts to hold consultations on cybersecurity, in particular on which types of infrastructure should be considered out of bounds or off limits to disruptive cyber attacks. I'm going to also link to an article that dives into the why for Russian hackers, and not surprisingly, it's about economic opportunity. Now, why do we care? There was never going to be an instant off switch from the Russians on this issue. What happened instead was at least single forward movement towards some change. We can hope for slightly less high-profile attacks, and understand that operationally, not much will change tomorrow and probably not the day after that either. At best, this is some long-term help. It at least matters that governments are now looking at these attacks. That's why we care. The profile is high enough now that law enforcement is going to be involved. So we care because the issue is clearly now that important. Which leads to some more security news. Microsoft is warning about a series of attacks that use SEO poisoning to infect systems. Thousands of PDFs stuffed with SEO keywords start a series of redirections that lead to the malware. The enticement? Free office forms like invoices, questionnaires, and resumes. The company has also disrupted a business email compromise campaign which used legacy protocols like IMAP and POP3 to go around MFA, targeting Exchange Online. And it isn't small scale. BEC scammers are another avenue of revenue. If you're thinking about opening a ransomware business, the source code for the Paradise ransomware was released on a hacking forum. It's only available to active users, however. Comments within the code are in Russian. A U.S. nuclear weapons contractor was hit by Revil. They claim to have stolen data, which they are now auctioning off. It's also come out that the Teamsters were hit back in 2019, but they refused to pay, despite FBI advice to do so, and they rebuilt their network instead. Their insurance company had made that recommendation, and they pulled 99% of their data from archived materials, and in some cases, hard copies. And too many tools may be the problem. The attackers themselves use common tools and thus make them a lot less likely to be spotted. This per Sophos' Active Advisory Playbook 2021 report. Blocking threats automatically means it may not be followed up on and may be part of a larger attack pattern. It's reflected in software sprawl too. There are an average of 96 unique applications per device, including 13 mission-critical applications on the average endpoint device today. Software client sprawl on endpoints is increasing, growing to an average of 11.7 software clients or security controls per endpoint device in 2021. Nearly two-thirds of endpoint devices, 66%, also have two or more encryption apps installed. Evidence discloses that 60% of devices have two or more encryption apps installed, and 52% have three or more endpoint management tools installed, while 11% have two or more identity access management clients installed. And in case you thought this was a North American and European problem, Ensign InfoSecurity published data findings highlighting similar threat actors across Asia-Pacific, Hong Kong, Malaysia, Singapore, and South Korea. Cyber Reason has released a report which examines all of the ransomware attacks across multiple companies, and the findings show that cyber insurance just doesn't cover the losses, even when it does cover the ransomware. Some 54% of the cyber pros who responded said their organization had bought a cyber insurance policy that covered ransomware in the past 2 years, versus 24% who bought one that did not. Of those that were subsequently attacked and extorted by a ransomware crew, 42% said their insurer covered only a portion of the losses. The Washington Post covered that too. Prices for at least half of insurance buyers went up 10 to 30% in late 2020. Quoting the piece, underwriters are demanding to see detailed proof of clients' cybersecurity measures in ways they've never done before. For example, not using multi-factor authentication, which requires a user to verify themselves in multiple ways, might result in a rejection. Many insurers are also restricting how much cyber coverage they can offer or limiting the terms and conditions, several industry executives have said. In some cases, that means slashing the amount of reimbursement that can be used specifically for ransomware attacks. And ready for the worst news? 80% of organizations that paid ransom demands experienced a second attack, of which 46% believe came from the same attackers. This from data by CensusWide. Why do we care? Go Teamsters. Tip of the cap for that one. So, you're breached. Insurance won't cover the whole damage, and you're really likely to get hit again, even if you pay. It's getting harder to get insurance, and too many tools might even be making it worse. My theme continues to be rethink this problem, finding ways to simplify your customers' environments, address the basics better, and don't take the unnecessary risks. You should have your do not cross lines, because the insurance companies have theirs now. Are you still using on-prem file servers and VPNs to share files with remote workers? Ignite is a business-class cloud sharing solution that works more like your on-prem server than any other solution. With a security-first approach to file sharing and collaboration, Ignite offers multiple options for sharing files and collecting files from outside sources. And do it all while addressing data governance and compliance. Want to learn more? Check out ignite.com/MSP. That's EGNYTE.com. And when you do, tell them Dave sent you. Thanks for listening to The Business of Tech. We're actually off tomorrow, a scheduled holiday in recognition of Juneteenth. But additionally, there will be a bonus episode this weekend talking about digital cash flow management. Back again on Monday, and I'll catch up on anything we might have missed. Talk to you then.